Hey guys, welcome back. We are the Story Crafters. My name is Jeff. Directly below me, we have Nicole. Next to her, we have Charlie. And above him, we have Jared. Once again, we're the Story Crafters. Welcome back. This is episode 4, guys. Insane that we have even come this far right now and had so much support. And I'm
Man.
just blown away by everything. For real, this is nuts. You guys have been insane. The messages that we've all received, I literally don't even know what to say. But how have you guys been the past couple weeks since our last recording? I've been crazy busy, but
Seems to be
Yeah.
going around.
Yeah, our topic for
January.
this episode is going to be so apt, and I'm going to have so much to talk about. And Jeff is either going to have to cut a bunch of it, or it's going to be an extra long episode.
Well, you know, it could be both. Who knows? I could cut a lot, and it'd still be a long episode. Oh, man. But before we get into that, guys, let's go ahead and start off everything and let's roll initiative, shall we? And I'm rolling my like tiny
Unbelievable.
little mini dice, which I rolled a 14.
Ugh. I was trying something different. I rolled my like huge one.
Oh, you rolled a
Oh,
huge one, and I rolled this like teeny tiny little dice. I rolled a 14. I'm not. I've already said it. I'm not doing it. But I'm these
I also got a
teeny tiny
14.
little things.
Oh, the baby.
You got a 14 as well?
I did.
Oh man.
Rollies. What'd you
Rollies.
get, Nicole?
I got a 2.
Oh, I got a seven,
Nat
so I'm
20.
feeling pretty good about
Natural
it.
20. I got a
That's one.
16. All right.
Dang.
Yeah.
Man.
That's like this. I think that's the
Good job,
second Nat
Charlie.
20 of the show.
That is. That
Both
is.
on rollies, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
Correct. That is
Yes.
correct.
Man, that's a
Wow.
lot of 14.
That's wild.
All right. So Charlie, you're gonna go in front of me. Who beat my 14 or me and Charlie's
Nobody.
14? Nobody?
Charlie, you, me, then Nicole.
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
Nice. Cool. Charlie, kick us off, man. What have you gotten up to the past couple weeks since our last recording session, man? What you been up
Wow.
to?
A lot. So I don't normally my life with the denominations of D&D and non-D&D life, but just to keep it simple here on this platform, things have become very busy in my non-D&D life. Which has resulted in me having to cancel a couple of my D&D games, including a one shot that I had at a brewery.
Oh, dang.
However, I'm still incredibly fortunate because what's normally a year or two ago, if I had to cancel a D&D session, I'd be going a month without D&D. Even though I had to cancel 7 games in the last 2 weeks since we last met, I've still got to have a one shot and a regular session during the week. So, still incredibly fortunate, very, very grateful because I much needed those breaks to just go and be in this homebrew world of mine and with some awesome players. So, that being said, questions was I think when we last recorded, I did talk about if you guys remember, which my players went into the initiative to stop one player from leaving. And it was like very emotional and bringing up support and everything else. So that group was the one that I did get to keep their session on schedule and we got to meet. And that one was a tremendous amount of fun for me personally because in my homebrew world, just a little lore dump for some of the players that haven't heard about this yet. The moon in the world has a massive chunk out of it. So Earth's moon, very damaged, has like two crater rings essentially around it, and this massive chunk missing out of it. And nobody knows, at least the players wise, nobody knows how that chunk happened. However, one group did get to meet a survivor from that event, which is a moon giant. I learned about moon giants forever ago because of Monster of the Week. Shout out to them on YouTube. Fantastic, fantastic guy. But yeah, he talked about moon giants, and I thought these were just absolutely fantastic types of giants. And so I had that there was a settlement of moon giants up there, and the moon was attacked, or a disaster happened to create this massive crater, and it awoke a slumbering or perhaps in, you know, cursed, enchanted, whatever it may be, lunar also inspired by Monster of the Week. And that lunar dragon came out, and there was a massive war between that and the solar dragon that was lying dormant within the sun, created this massive war. A couple moon giants were able to be teleported safely to Earth. He's the only one that was able to survive his wounds. And so I got to talk about that lore, and that was big for me. With this giant moon druid. He's also a druid too. But moon giant druid. And it was so funny because they weren't sure if they were going to decide on. And so through a lot of tiptoeing and everything, and eventually befriended him. And it was a really good session. It was a lot of fun. The other one I got to do, which was great, was a one shot at a brewery, and got to the TPK. So that was great. Everybody signed up with level 15 players to fight a Tarrasque. Not just any Tarrasque, a mutated Tarrasque. And they got really close to killing it. And unfortunately, though, it still ended in a TPK. And I'm always worried with new players how they're going to handle being in a TPK. But everybody loved it. Everybody had so much fun. They said it was one of the most fun games they've had. And, you know, especially... I think everyone at that table had never encountered a TPK before, too. It was a lot of fun. It was a good time.
Yeah, I've actually never given out a TPK or been in a TPK.
Same here.
Oh. So that would be very interesting.
I know it's kind of like I've heard a lot of D&D... you know, podcasts and videos and other stuff, and people talk about how, like, TPKs, if you do a TPK, you're a bad GM, or it's bad storytelling. And I don't agree with that necessarily.
Yeah,
and I think, it's been evident. I mean, I don't do it all the time. It doesn't happen all the time. It's literally up to the dice. I never set up encounters except for one that's meant to be a TPK, and the players knew that going in. I will preface that.
Right. Yeah.
Well, and they gave it their best effort. It was a ton of fun. So
that's good that they're good sports about it too.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think anytime you're going up against a Tarrasque, that's always a very good possibility. So
yeah. Well, especially this one had I won't give out all the special abilities it had, but one of which, in place of a lair action, I went with this Tarrasque had some special abilities that would go into effect, and one of which was it would blink and randomly teleport 120 feet.
Oh my god.
So
terrifying.
Yeah.
God. What? It
was awesome.
That's rude.
Yep, so all of a sudden somebody who is set up as, you know, a range fighter all the way back here, perfectly safe, now all of a sudden Thrass is breathing down the back of their neck.
Oh my god.
That's incredible.
Awesome. Yeah. That's brutal.
Jeez Louise, dude. Unrolling, man.
But yeah, that's been my time.
Because I was next, right? Because we both tied, and then Jared, then Nicole. I've kind of taken the month off of painting. Because I typically like to paint a lot of stuff. I don't do a whole lot of building or crafting these days. But I got back into crafting, like, down the rabbit hole again. Because which will tie into our topic later. Started a new campaign. And it's it's starting in a carnival. And I had no carnival terrain. So I had to craft a bunch of stuff for the carnival. Made some like ski ball, a dunk tank, some like a poker table type thing, some little like mirrors out of the like premium D&D pre-painted boxes. I just kind of like cut a mirror out of it, like a mirror shape out of it, so it reflects a little bit. Nice. Yeah, and then built some other... I painted up a couple D&D minis, too, for my players. I have a brand new guy who's going to be playing in the game now. He's never played before in general, so he's a longtime friend of mine, and he's going to be playing. He's playing a cleric rogue combo. So he's got an idea for it, and I'm like, dude, you go for it, man. He's given me like all this backstory and stuff. I was like, thank you. And for all the people that do listen to the podcast, he's one of the only ones that actually sent me something.
Your GM put you on blast, y'all.
little shout out to my guys. Yeah, so I've just been doing a lot of that. Yeah, that's kind of it. I've been prepping a lot, been doing a lot of writing for the campaign. We kind of went up to this northern area in my world called the Crystal Peaks. And so it's this like mountainous, like snow kind of like Alps, but in the middle of it is a very dark, terrifying tower. So,
Sound ominous at all.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. But I do hear it does have incredible cookies. So, a little burnt, but not too bad. Not too bad. A little crunch. So,
is this a shout out to like the meme that used to come up on MySpace all the time? That was like, come to the dark side. We have cookies.
We have cookies. Oh my god.
Every single one of us just showed our age by one person in MySpace.
Yeah.
Is my millennial showing?
Oh, that's great. On theme with everybody else, I DM'd my first player death in my last session, which was a first for me as a DM.
Did you anticipate this?
Tell us about
it. No. Okay. I didn't. I mean, listen, it's always a possibility, as we were just discussing. Yeah. And I always make it clear to my players at any point in time, if you reach a point that you're burnt out or not feeling the character you're playing, like, we can write them out of the story. Let's find a graceful, like, if they don't meet an untimely end, you know, I play how you're inspired to. So we've had those discussions. So, you know, I don't know if I put the bug in his ear or what, but so my players who were pirates were sailing and came across a ship that just had two individuals on it. Clearly they weren't good guys, but they ended up having a conversation with them. And it was this beautiful moment that, you know, you dream of as a DM. Well, it was a pirate necromancer. And so I had one player where it's like, this is weird that there's only two people on the ship. So they, I don't remember even what spell detected any life on the ship. And I'm like, there's none beyond the two people you see. And it was this awesome moment. Cause the entire the entire below deck of the ship was full of undead, you know, who hadn't been reanimated yet. So anyway, I had one player decide to teleport down below decks of this ship. And then at the same time, everything reanimated, and you know, it went from there. And basically we fudged the rules a little bit at the end. He got to go out in a very heroic act of being polymorphed into a T-Rex and sunk the ship as the rest of the crew was able to sail away. So we fudged it a little bit, because technically I think his life would have been saved by being polymorphed, but he was ready to sail on into the sunset, and his next session will be, or the next session, he'll be rolling up a new character. So I'm excited to see what he does. But it was a lot of fun. More emotional than I would have anticipated it being. It was a character that was role-played beautifully. We figured it was session 31. So, you know, 31 sessions of playing one character, we figured roughly like 150 hours was the quick math we did to like figure out, you know, how long this character had been around. So, but anyway, it was good. It was a lot of fun. Not something I'm looking forward to doing again, strangely, but like as my players level up more, I'm trying to make it more challenging. And so it's all part of the game. It's how the dice roll. So beyond that, I've not been up to a whole lot. I've been very busy and have actually done little to no crafting or mini painting. So it is what it is, but that's me.
I I will say, to add two notes to what you said. One, player deaths. I've had probably about two handfuls, maybe about a dozen or so. And every single time, there's always tears that are shed at the table. It's always an emotional moment. Even in the most comical of deaths, it just gets emotional, you know? But the other thing I will say too, a couple weeks ago, I had that big nautical fight with like four ships. I did have a couple players and NPCs that one of the ships got rammed and cracked in half and sank, and they got trapped within the debris and had to make saving throws and everything. And that was all, again, based on dice. It was like, you know, roll, you know, where you're at and to see just the odds of getting trapped under all that debris. So, I mean, very much could have been your player, you know. The T-Rex polymorph went away, but still got trapped under some of that debris, wasn't able to surface up, and trapped, you know, too far below. Yeah,
it was a cool moment. No question. It was pretty cool. And the character, I mean, his main story arc had pretty well culminated, which was kind of cool. So I think, you know, I think the player was contemplating, you know, do I continue this character or do I explore something else? So it was not necessarily the death they had planned, but it was cool. It was a good, you know, group moment. So first for me, and I assume won't be the last. So what's been going on with you, Nicole?
Well, I feel like I'm off theme, so I'm going to talk about death for a minute first, but I did not have any player death experiences this week, but I have been in a TPK before, and my DM was nice enough to like give us a soul coin so we could like revive ourselves. But that's I just needed to share my little death story before I talk about my week, just to be on theme, because I don't want to mess with the theme here. It's very morbid.
I missed the mermaids.
I was going to say, we went from mermaids to TPKs and death. Like,
I mean, you just tune in. You never know what you're going to get with us.
That's D&D for you. Life is a game.
Those mermaids will give you hell.
What have I been up to? Let's see. I think last episode I shared my kid-friendly character sheet. I've done a few little edits to that since then, and I got a lot of requests from people who do not speak English, or the kids that they play with don't speak English. So I now have a version available that has no text on it, so that if you're not an English speaker, you can translate it to whatever language you speak. And awesome. Something really cool is I've actually gotten a few back that like people translated into their language, and they were like, hey, if anybody asks for one in like Portuguese or Mandarin or whatever, like, here you go. You can have this.
That's so cool.
So that's been really cool. Just kind of like connecting with, you know, people that
the RPG community is the best.
It's wild. Like
the best.
It is so cool. Yeah. I bought one of the copies from your email list, and it is really cool. I like it a lot. You did a fantastic job on it.
Thanks. Yeah, I've gotten a lot of good feedback on it so far. Hopefully people will like start actually playing with it and let me know what the flaws are soon.
About to make them mandatory at my table.
Nice. Other than that, I had a little like ladies weekend with my friend. We went to Waco, Texas, which probably most people don't know about, but it's where the Dr. Pepper Museum is, and it's where the Fixer Upper people, Chip and Joanna, live. So that's Waco. But
also where Sheldon Cooper is from in The Big Bang Theory. I don't know if he is or not. Maybe. I'm sorry for interrupting you.
I don't know. I don't have my Waco facts all together. My
true crime historian side is showing it. Like, it's also the site of something else, but we're not going to talk about that.
Let's not talk. Waco's an exciting place. We'll just leave it at that. Some cool thing. Yeah. Anyway.
Be a great setting for D&D.
Could be. But we went to, I always try to find like the local game shops when I go to a different city. So we went to a really cool game shop that I wanted to shout out if you're ever in Waco. It's called King's Landing Games, and it's just a really sweet setup, super nice people, and they have good coffee too. So like, really, you can't beat that.
They came up on my feed, and now I know exactly why. Uh-huh. The algorithm's been doing its thing, and that's so funny. I was like, oh wow, Waco, Texas. I was like, that's so random. And again, thinking about the other thing, I was like, you know, they've come a long way. They got a game store. That's amazing. That's fantastic. Now I know why that came up. That's so funny.
Yeah, I'm the in between connection for you guys, probably. Yeah. That's good.
Awesome.
Let's see. Other than that, been on a couple of podcasts. I just went on Lawfully Chaotic not too long ago, and that was super fun. That one's actually like live, so that's kind of cool. Ooh. To like get to interact with people while you're doing the show. A little intimidating, but it ended up being fun. Other than that, I think just continuing work on my book. I have not played D&D in the last 2 weeks at all, but I've still been doing related stuff, right? And hopefully I'll get back to it soon.
How's your book coming? Like, are you able to say anything about like if you've made any progress anywhere or anything like that?
I have made progress. Actually, the big news this week is that it has a title finally. I've been like just agonizing over the title forever.
Okay.
The title for the first book that's coming out, which is the kids book that I keep showing off and stuff.
Is this called, the part where I edit it out after this part, after you tell us the title?
Just bleep it out. No. Just bleep it out.
No. It's fine. I mean, unless I change my mind tomorrow, we're gonna have to edit it.
Well, for whoever's listening, whenever this goes live, actually when this goes live, because we know when this is gonna go live, I just can't remember the date. If the title of the book is in here, congratulations. You get to hear the title.
Yes. So the title is Tales of Etheria, which is the series of books. And then the actual title is An Unexpected Quest.
Oh, I love
that's
it.
Awesome.
That's
wonderful.
And hopefully I won't hate that in the next week or two, and it can actually be the sticking title.
That is solid.
That's what we need to happen.
That is absolutely solid.
I am super excited about it.
Yeah. 8 months later, it has a title.
Sometimes that's the hardest part.
I've been telling all my friends that have kids, I'm like, guys, my friend is writing a kid's book for D&D that's designed for kids. We are all getting it, right? Yes, everyone nod your head.
Yes. Yes, we are.
I'm getting it for my nieces and nephew and my godson. It's happening.
It's going to be so good.
I love it.
Exciting. Man, that's exciting. I'm really looking forward to doing like deep dives into your book once it comes out. Like, we can just get like really into it. I don't know. Man, that's going to be good.
Should we just put Nicole on the spot and be like, next episode, the lore section should be Etheria?
That would be cool. Ooh. I was thinking more that one of our one shots that we do needs to be set in the world that Nicole's created, but
I agree.
Why not both?
I agree. Yeah, we could do both. I'm down with that. That would be so fun.
Nice. I love how we all leaned into that too. Like,
I missed out. My mic is so close to my face already. If I lean in, I actually move past it. So
we're like, oh yeah. Oh my god, that's fun. Oh, we're having fun on this show. This is a good time. I always enjoy these recordings because it's always like, not only are we like, we're trying to make a show and everything, but it's just fun to talk shop sometimes. It's just like, get nerdy with it.
Yeah.
Like,
and with a good group of people too. You guys are great.
We're going to transition here into our lore section that we always do. But first, Jared, you have a special announcement here.
I do have a special announcement. We are all very excited. We have our first official sponsor. So this lore segment today and moving forward is going to be brought to you by Firelight Fables Candle Company. All your fantasy and TTRPG inspired scents for enhancing immersion and inspiring creativity. We are very, very grateful to the team over at Firelight Fables for supporting us in our D&D endeavors. So the exciting news along with that for all of our listeners, we have a 15% off code to use at firelightfables.com. The code is StoryCrafters. So it is StoryCrafters, StoryCrafters, for 15% off your next purchase at firelightfables.com.
Woo! Awesome stuff, man. Guys, you absolutely need to go check them out. They are an incredible, incredible company, and do yourself a favor. I almost said do yourself a fable and pick your up a the man, that's
do yourself a fable. I love it. I think that should
do
be
yourself how it is. Do yourself a fable, and
that's not a critical fail. That's a critical success, that, my friend.
You know what, sometimes it's a small line. Jared, do something to transition us out of that.
That's great. I actually have one of their tea light candles burning right now, right next to me. I have Thieves Guild.
Nice.
The scent Thieves Guild burning, and it is lovely. So 10 out of 10 would recommend. But with that, we're going to jump into our lore section. We're switching it up today.
Nice.
We're doing something a little bit different today. Our lore is going to be about owl bears. Instead of a setting, we wanted it to be about owl bears. So, the ferocious beasts of the wild that are owl bears. Few creatures in the world of Dungeons and Dragons inspire a mix of awe and terror quite like the owl bear. These hulking monstrosities with the body of a massive bear and the head and talons of a predatory owl are as feral as they are iconic. Legend has it that owl bears were a result of a twisted wizard's experiment, a fusion of two apex predators created for reasons long forgotten. While this origin remains unconfirmed, one thing is certain. The owl bear is an apex predator in its own right, thriving in some of the most unforgiving environments of the multiverse. Owl bears are typically found in dense forests or remote mountainous regions where they dominate the food chain. Their ferocity and stubborn tenacity makes them equally feared by hunters, adventurers, and other predators. Known for their distinctive guttural screeches, eerily reminiscent of an owl's call, owl bears use these sounds to stake their claim over territory. Their feathered heads provide an unnerving intelligence to their otherwise animalistic behavior, making them as cunning as they are aggressive. In combat, an owl bear's strength lies in its sheer brutality. They charge into battle, tearing into prey with their razor-sharp claws and snapping with their powerful beak. Their combination of speed, strength, and resilience makes them a dangerous foe, even for seasoned adventurers. Despite their reputation as savage beasts, owlbears have occasionally been tamed by incredibly skilled or perhaps foolhardy handlers. Those rare individuals who manage to domesticate an owlbear speak of a fierce loyalty that is difficult to rival. However, keeping one as a companion is no small feat. Constant care, food, and the occasional need to fend off its territorial instincts make it such an endeavor, a challenge few would dare attempt. Interestingly, owlbears are also a common motif in D&D lore, appearing in various settings and stories. In Icewind Dale, as we've talked about several times now, for example, they stalk the frozen tundras, their feathers adapted to the harsh colds. In forests, like the High Forest or the Feywild, they serve as guardians of ancient groves or as primal forces of nature. In the end, the owlbear is more than just a monster. It is a living embodiment of the untamed wilds of the D&D universe. Whether it's serving as a deadly foe, a curious encounter, or a majestic reminder of nature's power, the owlbear is a creature that never fails to leave an impression.
That is for sure.
Love it. Oof, I love owlbears.
It is my personal favorite creature in D&D. So, for all the reasons just stated.
I never imagined, though, a domesticated owlbear. Sorry, Nicole.
Oh, no, you're good. I was just going to say, I was so excited to see that owlbears were one of the creatures that were in the, like, Creative Commons license from Wizards of the Coast, mm-hmm. because I really wanted to put one in my book, and I can, so I did.
Yes.
That's awesome.
To me, aside from dragons, obviously, to me, the owlbear is, like, that's the most iconic D&D monster. There's very few things that are, like, I shouldn't say very few things. There are a lot of monsters that are fictitious that are only like in D&D settings, but that one to me is like the top, you know?
Yeah.
Yes.
I beg the question then, because I like owlbears a lot, but I lean one way. I want to see how you guys lean. Do you let your druids wild shape into them?
I tend to play rules as written, but in fairness, I have no druids in my party. So
I have honestly never encountered one of my players wanting to. However, I'm always open to the idea. I also do like homebrew spells, even like I have a kind of a system in my homebrew world of players having the ability to craft their own spells to a certain extent and degree. Yeah, that can be a whole other topic of discussion for a long time, but I'm definitely open to it. You know, I think it's really cool. Rules of Written is really good to rely on in a pinch and for longevity, but if you have a player that really wants to do it, why not? You know?
Mm-hmm.
They're freaking awesome.
I don't think I've ever encountered a druid that like had a high enough challenge rating to even try that.
So the reason I ask is because it's come up quite a few times in games that I've played and that I've run. Because after the D&D movie, what's her face transformed into the wild bear, Doric, yeah, that's what her name is. And she was amazing, and I love it. And in the movie, I was like, that's sick. But then I'm like, man, could you imagine if your player could wild shape into a monstrosity? Like, dude, you would destroy things.
I mean, if your druids and wizards can, you know, turn into T-Rexes, why not?
That's fair. I mean, that's fair.
That is definitely my go-to. Like,
how is a T-Rex not a monstrosity?
Yeah, well, that's a great question too, Jeff. But it is
we
so far at my table we have played by the rule of if you haven't seen the creature before, realistically, if your character's never encountered it, which it maybe is even rules as written, I don't know, then you don't get to do it. And the wizard was the one who
what it's listed as a huge beast.
Well, in fairness, it was.
That's wild to me.
Did they like see it in a museum, or like what was the explanation there?
So my wizard player who was going to polymorph the rogue leaned over and showed me the screen on his phone of the T-Rex, and I will allow it one time.
One time.
Because we knew it was the blaze of glory, you know, he's going out. So I said, this is the one time you get to do it.
That's so
I love it.
Man, that's the owlbear. Look at that. All that conversation from one measly owl bear that will definitely ruin your party's day.
That's for sure.
Yeah, gosh.
And all of that brought to you by Firelight Fables Candle Company. Use the code STORYCRAFTERS for 15% off your next purchase at firelightfables.com.
Storycrafters.
15% off. I know, right? I need to find a good voiceover dude, or you know, somebody like the story crafters, blah, 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 and that's definitely getting edited out.
Put it in the blooper reel.
Yeah. Oh God. All right, well, let's go ahead and let's jump into the topic there for our D100. Last time we rolled and we got into burnout, Man, Charlie, how do you handle it, dude? In life, yeah. In general, how do you do it? Teach me.
It's tough. It's really tough. So I will say, personally, as somebody who has ADHD, you know, PTSD, depression, it can be really, really tough. You know, there's so many things in life that'll just keep you from staying on track and motivated, and give you plenty of reasons of, you know, today's not the day. For that reason in particular, I found, because I love GMing, I love telling stories and facilitating a space for players to be able to do that. I love that. That would me back time and time again to being a GM, you know, when people ask me to for various events or something else. What drives me to do as many campaigns that I do is truthfully because it's in my homebrew world. If I was doing this with other modules or other pre-written adventures, I don't think I would be able to have the motivation or the will to show up and tell these stories. But because I have a homebrew world that I'm very passionate about and have found so much joy in and really enjoyed telling stories in that space, while still, you know, having the anticipation of not knowing what my players are going to do and how the story is going to go entirely, having a loose idea of it, keeps it so fresh and so much fun. But I think that's my biggest thing as a GM is, and I tell people all the time who want to GM, especially if they want to do it as a paid service, is I tell them, do what you want to do. Especially if you're going to be having players, you know, paying money to be there, and giving their time to come out and be at your table, you need to deliver the best that you can. And that is one of the reasons I had to cancel some of my games these past 2 weeks, is because I, in my non-D&D life, been, you know, had to work a lot of overtime. I've had a lot of other commitments, a lot of other, you know, stressors and you know, weights on my mental health and personal life and personal health. And I knew I cannot give my players who are paying to be there the best experience. So I don't want to waste their time, and I want to give them that time back and cancel it as far out ahead as I can, knowing what's going to come up. And that's the same thing when I tell, like I said, new GMs, is I tell them, go with what you want to do, because you want to be just as motivated and have just as much fun as everybody else at the table. And if you are not wholly invested and excited about being there and telling that story, everybody else too, and it's gonna burn everybody out, not just mm-hmm. yourself.
I'm gonna piggyback off you. I'm just gonna kind of jump off you right there, if you're fine with that, or do you have any other sage wisdom off there? Because that's kind of like, I was gonna kind of say almost the exact same thing into another point. And we can go back and forth too. Like, this is not just because Charlie rolled, you know, and it doesn't mean we can't, you know, not go around for a round two, you know.
I thought we all agreed that once he was done, he wasn't allowed to talk again.
Yeah, silence has been cast.
Yeah, I mean, I have some more stuff I can talk about later and everything, but as far as like the actual topic itself, I mean, that's really the best advice that I give time and time again. It's just doing what you're excited about. If it's Curse of Strahd, mm-hmm. cool. You know, if it's Icewind Dale, great. If it's a cyberpunk setting, go for it. If it's mm-hmm. traditional, you know, AD&D, you know, go for it. Mm-hmm. If that's what makes you excited, then that's the best thing to do.
Yeah. Yeah, when we left last episode, I was like, oh man, I gotta talk to you guys about this one, because let me tell you, I imploded one of my worlds. Not really imploded my world, but we're in a campaign. This campaign has been going on now for a year and some change, over a year, coming up on 2 years potentially on this one. Level 12, like, things have been going on. These dudes are not weak anymore, and I'm like, I'm not coming up with any ideas. Like, there's nothing that's, you know, Jimmy and the Jams. Like, it's just not happening. And so I texted them all. I was like, guys, we need to talk. How would you feel about starting a new campaign set in like a parallel time frame, still in my world, but kind of happening like alongside of the other one? So it's kind of interesting, and they were all down for it, which is really nice. But what I wanted to say about burnout is not being afraid of burnout, because that was something for me. I'm like, oh my God, like, shit, like, this is going to be so bad. Like, 'cause then they've all gotten into these characters. Like, you know, they've spent a year with one of them, 'cause we've had two people change characters. But it's like, dang it. Like, one of these dudes just, like, they had some epic moments and stuff and literally broke physics in one of them. And it's like, I don't want to just pull the rug out from you guys. And so I was feeling this, like, no, just come up with stuff, come up with stuff, come up with stuff. And everything I was coming up with just fell flat from, and I was like, I don't want to run this. I'm not in it. Like, and then I was having that conversation with myself of, like, is this, like, was this my fault? Did I bite off more than I could chew? Like, is this just bad setting? Did what were the steps that, like, and it's just like, man, one thing after another. And we lost a player too. My brother joined the military, so he left, and that was a big hit to the table too. So we're like, you know what? Like, so I just leaned into it, and I was like, you know what, guys, I'm burnt out. Let's start from level one. And normally I start at level three at least, because one is pretty squishy. But yeah, just sometimes you just gotta really lean into it and let the chaos do what the chaos is gonna do. And now I am already like 20 pages deep of writing this new campaign already. Like, it's just flying.
That's awesome.
So sometimes you just got to lean into it and embrace the chaos and embrace the burnout and then get back with some fresh ideas.
Yeah. I mean, just like the seasons, right? Sometimes it's a bummer when, yep, when the leaves fall and everything and seeing its natural conclusion in a way where it's ready to change and move on to something else. I am a proponent of that sometimes, that burnout is sometimes your best indicator of it, time to change things up, to not do it how you've been doing it for as long as you have.
Yeah. Nicole's sitting there like, from a therapist point of view.
I think what's important to note that you have both essentially said, being burnt out does not mean you're a bad DM. It's normal to feel burnt out. It is not a reflection on you or your DMing style or your players. It might be at times in very specific circumstances, but just because you're feeling burnout does not mean that you are a bad DM. I kind of wanted to spin this a little bit because I've dealt with burnout many times, whether it's DMing or D&D or crafting, you know, whatever. So I kind of wanted to spin it a little bit and talk a little bit more about, like, when I'm burnt out, finding inspiration from places is what has brought me back. So I just kind of, you know, whether that's, it's not the season to go hike outside that much here right now, but whether that's going on a hike, I mean, I remember going on a hike and just seeing a tree that was like arched over a river and thinking, oh, that would be pretty cool. That, and just something so simple, you know, as that. I mean, another thing, I think I mentioned it in our last episode, I've started playing Baldur's Gate 3. So I'm, you know, I know like 2 years behind everybody else, but it has been so inspiring, just like little moments and details to bring to my table, you know, as a DM, that's really like, the world is so alive and it's really been inspiring. I mean, the simple one is movies and shows, you know, Watch Lord of the Rings because it's the best movie of all time. That's you know, true. If you watch that and you still feel burnt out, then you know, maybe watch Cyberpunk. You know, do something, you know, change genres. Do you know something? I think you know so much of it is just finding a way to find inspiration again. Whether that's starting a new campaign, whether that's doing a one shot, I'll do that a lot. Where it's, I either feel like I haven't had the time that I wanted to be able to prep to give 100%. You know, like Charlie was talking about. Throw in a one shot, you know, and supplement. Do what, if you're feeling very inspired in a very specific direction, then maybe do a one shot if it doesn't tie in. Or, you know, I found ways even in my main story, it's like I'm really feeling really drawn to this, so I'm gonna find a way to kind of worm it into the story one way or the other. And you know, it's a real thing, that's for sure. But I think there's a lot of ways to overcome it. And sometimes the answer is just don't play D&D. You know, that's not the answer we often want, but sometimes that's the best answer. Sometimes you might just need a break. And again, there's challenge to that. If you do it professionally, then that's different than just doing it, you know, with a group of friends or casually. But sometimes that's just the answer. Maybe you just need a break for a month or two or three, you know? But yeah, that's my take on it.
I totally agree with that. I actually was feeling burnt out with playing, it's not D&D, but a war game that we always play. And it's like, man, this is fun and all, but like, but I played a different game that was, it's basically like D&D meets a war game. And it was, I haven't laughed so much playing a war game. It was hysterical. And it just like refreshed my, I was like, okay, I'm ready to go play this stuff again now. Like, so sometimes just doing different things. I love that, what you said there. Just
little palate things. Cleanser.
Yeah.
Jared, I will say, with all the stuff that I had to cancel, the one shot, because I had two one shots, the one that I kept, like I said, that was fighting a Tarrasque. Very little prep on my end. You know, no lore, puzzles, things, you know, that I've got to get. It was pretty simple, you know, terrain, few rocks, trees, and a mat, and a big ass Tarrasque, you know. That was it. And it was just a meat grinder episode, you know, a little bit of lore, a little bit of chat at the beginning and at the end to wrap it up. Even with the TPK, it was like, well, here's how the sun sets on your dead bodies.
Is that the episode title now? Big ass Tarrasque.
Hey, there you
go. And TPKs.
Yes.
Yes. Oh my God. Yes. Big ass Tarrasque and TPKs.
I love that. But yeah, I mean, sometimes that's what it is. You know, you don't have a lot going on. And so you just kind of pivot and you don't necessarily do a whole big lore jump and big prep and everything else. Just go for something more simple. You know, maybe, you know, you just ask your players, you know, hey, can we just do a shopping session tonight, guys? You know, can we just do silly voices and refresh our supplies?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I love all that. I think like the main thing I was thinking really goes in line with what y'all are thinking, which is just like mix it up, you know, do something different. Maybe that means shooting over to a different type of campaign or a different one shot. Like for me, mostly playing with kids, like they really don't care that much about if it makes any sense. So like if I'm tired of running our homebrew campaign in Etheria, I can just be like, well, you know, I went to the game shop and I picked up the My Little Pony and they're calling for help in Ponyville right now. So like, will y'all answer the call and go over there? And we could just go do something totally different for a few sessions. And then, you know, that gives me some time to kind of get back into my homebrew world and like care more about it again if I just take a break. Or, you know, sometimes like even, you know, kind of like Jeff, what you were saying, like just play a different game for a while. Like you don't have to play D&D all the time. It's not the end all be all. You can go play like something simpler, something more complicated, a video game. Like you don't have to just be committed to playing D&D all the time. Even if you're meeting with the same group, see if those people want to play a card game or something like that. That would be fine. Yep. Unless you do it professionally, and then, you know, I guess you probably should play D&D if that's what you're being paid for.
I will say on that, just to add to that note, I have had a couple of times where, you know, because sometimes you do have to cancel a session if half the players are not going to be there. It's not going to be a good experience for everybody, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Some people are sick, some people, you know, something has come up. But I have had it once or twice where everyone planned to be there, and then life happened last minute, a couple of people had to cancel, and I'm stuck there with only, you know, 2-3 out of my 6 players. We're planning on everyone to be there. So, okay, what do I do? Do I look at these people who have paid to be there and tell them, hey, sorry, I'll refund your money? That's a possibility if you guys want to. Again, you're here to play. I don't want to take that away from you. You've been looking forward to this. It's not your fault. So what I do is I have a list of one-shots in my back pocket. I have various settings. I'm like, we can just totally go make up anything you guys want right now, you know? Mm-hmm. And most of the time we're meeting in a game store too. So it's like, do you guys want to go browse the, you know, pre-written adventures or one-shot modules that are over there at the store? I'm, you know, happy to do that if you guys want. And mm-hmm. 9 times out of 10, it's, can we make like new characters, you know, like say level 5 and, can we explore? I mean, there's a bunch of other stuff in your world. What are some of the other settings? Have a little talk, and then we just do a quick, you know, random impromptu one shot. Mm. And it's so much fun. And everyone's happy.
Yeah, I think that's something that I want to do too with like, and I was actually thinking about that because one of the things that like when, which can be another topic too, of like what happens when do you cancel or anything like that. And doing like like if you have like 3 people, and instead of telling them sorry, don't, you know, but do like a flashback kind of, you know, and like your 3 characters, or you know, you were traveling at some point, if they knew each other, you know, doing like, hey, instead of canceling the session, let's do a quick flashback. I don't know, tell me some cool adventure you guys did together, and then do a quick little one shot or something like that.
Yeah.
That's, I love that.
I saw an idea similar, and I apologize if I butcher the name. I think it's Ryan ML. IMEL is his last name. Mm-hmm. DM. He's on TikTok. Mm-hmm. I believe he's on Instagram. Yeah. He had an idea. I think he called them campfire sessions. Mm-hmm. That basically, as the players are sitting around the campfire, one player is telling the story of, you know, maybe it's their specific backstory if they had never adventured with these people. And then everyone mm-hmm. gets to like jump in and kind of act that out. Maybe one mm-hmm. character is just controlling the monsters, you know. But I thought that's a really cool idea too for an instance like that, or just a palate cleanser or whatever, you know. Mm-hmm. That'd be really fun.
I love that. Yeah, that's so cool.
And I definitely don't want to turn this into therapy podcast, because that's not what we're doing here. But I will throw out, for those of you that don't know, my actual day job is that I'm a professional counselor. But I'm just going to throw out there, because I feel like it's my civic duty at this point, that like these guys are saying, like, burnout is so real, and it happens to pretty much everybody. So like, if you think this doesn't apply to you, it will, just wait. And it's okay. It's like so normal to experience that. And I hear this from people all the time of like, okay, I expect to get burnout at work, right? Sure. Yeah. We get tired of the grind, but getting burnout from something that's usually like a hobby and an escape and something that's good for you, that hits kind of different, but it still happens. And it's not like, you know, like Jared was saying, it's not like you're a bad DM or you're a bad player or something's wrong with you. It's just like, we as humans get tired of doing the same thing over and over again, especially if we have other external things pushing in on us that don't feel good. So like, it's no big deal. Yep. It's no big deal.
Yep.
It's normal.
Like, I'm a professional audio engineer, and the amount of times that I've been like, I do not want to mix something. I do not want to play any tad bit of music. I don't want to do anything like that. I'm just going to take a break for a weekend and just reset. Like, and I love it.
Everybody needs a good reset sometimes. Whatever that looks like for you. Take a hike.
For sure. Whatever. Over the recording here real quick, I can take out any, if you want me to take out like the therapist part, like I can take that out if you don't want any of that in there.
I'm fine with that. Okay.
Because I was like, oh shit, did I just like really butcher that? Like,
no, it's not a secret. I can't give like advice and call it counseling, right?
Gotcha. Because like, the more I thought about that, I was like, oh, wait a second. This could not be a way. Let's backpedal here. Okay. Anyways, everyone,
feel free to keep this in here. This podcast does not provide medical advice, nor is it constitutes from therapists or sound engineering advice or whatnot. The information, including but not limited to text, graphics, images, and other material contained on this podcast. For information
purposes. Yeah, that's the disclaimer. That's it.
That's the disclaimer. What did they say? I have no idea, but they said it.
Something, and I should see a doctor.
I feel like that should be the end of the show. Something, and I should see a doctor.
Well, I will say another part of burnout is something else that I've been encountering. So it's going to be my birthday later this week, and I have I've kind of started a tradition of just getting a couple friends together and family and doing a D&D one-shot. And GMing it and in my homebrew world, and it's provided an opportunity to do like, you know, just something really random within the homebrew setting that doesn't come up under other circumstances and I get to plan for. And this year it lined up really, really well that I'm going to have six friends and family being players at my table. So I get to do a really big one-shot encounter and I'm very excited. And leading up to it, it's still not finished. Probably going to be working on it up until a couple hours before. But with everything that's been going on in my non-D&D life, it's been really, really hard to find the energy to sit down and do this. And part of that has been the pressure that I put on myself, because these are my friends and family that have been playing in my homebrew setting for a long period of time. And I want to make sure that like I provide some Easter eggs for them, that I provide new encounters, callbacks to previous sessions. You know, I really want that those awesome moments that come once in a full moon as a GM, since I'm going to have all of them there. I want to have a lot of that in the session, but that puts a lot of pressure on myself and that can cause a lot of burnout too. Mm-hmm. And something that I've learned just over the years has just been, what is that phrase? You can't squeeze blood from a stone, something of that nature, you know, of like, you know, you can't force something that isn't there.
Right.
No matter how much you want to, it doesn't matter how much pressure you put to it. It's just, it's never going to happen. Yeah. And instead of sitting there and beating myself up, you know, in front of the computer for hours, I just, you know, I give myself a little bit of time, 15, 20 minutes. And if I haven't gotten anywhere, then I'm like, okay, I'm going to call it, you know, and just kind of, you know, look inward to myself and think, okay, does that look like me stepping away for an hour, maybe watch a movie, come back to it, or do I just call it a day and just move on from this? Mm-hmm. And as I've gotten closer, you know, we're only a few days away, still got to, you know, finish it up. I know that was the right thing to make, because otherwise I would have forced myself up, wasted all that time and just had a horrible experience and compounded the feelings of burnout and the pressure on myself, rather than giving myself a break and permission to be burnt out and to rest. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to do that.
Yeah.
So now giving myself space to do that also means that I'm not forcing a story or a narrative that isn't coming organically or in a way that, you know, feels right. And now I've got something, you know, it's not finished yet. And I'm going to be working up to the last hour, but I'm so much more grateful with what I have and doing this in this manner than if I had forced a story that I didn't feel really good about, or like I said, just wasted all that time just being mad and frustrated and burnt out. Yeah. I wouldn't have come to this point now if I had done that properly. So that's the other thing. Just forgive yourself, be nice to yourself. Life is hard enough. You don't need to be hard on yourself too.
Yeah. Right. I feel like we put so much pressure on ourselves to make it like so creative and so epic. And it's like, it doesn't have to be good.
Yeah.
Well, inherently it's collaborative storytelling, right? Like it's not all on us.
Mm-hmm.
I early on as a GM, that was a hard thing for me to learn. Yeah. And with my regular campaigns, I think that's something I embrace a lot. Mm-hmm. I let myself slip into that a little bit with this one shot coming up because of the fact it's my players and that have been in my campaigns for a long time and friends and family that I know very well. I definitely put a lot of my pressure on myself by that. But yeah, it's a collaborative story.
I think that too for all the players listening, not just the DMs or GMs, the storytelling does come from you as players as well too. Like, feel free, like don't be scared of being like, oh, I don't think that's what the story is going to tell. Like, if go and do the thing, try the thing, because that's what makes it fun. Anyways, that just little snippet of players tell the story too. So
yeah, do it.
Sorry, go ahead. Sorry.
How cool is it that like I feel like your friends and family are getting a present on your birthday?
Yeah. So I've had some people tell me this and I'm like, no, 100%. Like, I'm very much the type of person that I like to give gifts rather than receive gifts. So there's definitely part of that aspect, you know, happening there. The other part of it is also it's not selfish, but it's selfish in the sense of like self-serving, right? I'm really excited to like tell some lore and do some lore dumps and, you know, blow their minds and everything. That's going to be so satisfying to me of stuff that I've been keeping close to the chest and, you know, having an excuse and a way to delve into that a little bit. That's just a ton of fun for me to drop a lot of those surprises and see everyone's faces. So, that's half the reason I love doing these birthday one shots.
Yeah.
So I love cool. That. Such a cool idea.
And yeah, and happy birthday too for everybody for when this episode comes out. Wish Charlie a happy birthday down in the comments on all of these other different platforms. On every comment, every platform. I just want to see happy birthday, Charlie. And everyone at their tables, tell them that I told you that you get inspiration if you do. Tell your DM I told you that you get inspiration at your table.
Hey, I like that.
Let's go ahead then and let's jump into our D100 roll here going in. Close out the episode. We've rambled long enough tonight. Let's go ahead and let's roll some dice for the last time here tonight. So I'll do a cut there and then we'll I want to make a bumper for that too. So I'm going to do some sort of like dice rolling bumper. I want the three sections to each have a bumper. So
who would like to roll?
I think I rolled last time, so somebody else roll.
Nicole, have you rolled yet?
I think I rolled last time. I don't know, maybe Jeff did. I think I did.
I don't know.
I mean I'm happy to. I have dice.
Go for it. Go ahead. Go for it.
Do you recall rolling?
Say again.
All rolling for the Because, I mean, this is the fourth episode, so, right? Like, this should be...
Well, that's what I feel like I've rolled once, so I feel like somebody hasn't. I don't know. Well, no, this would be the fifth time we roll, though, because we rolled at the end of episode zero. We did. So we all probably
have... Oh, so we have all rolled one. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. There we go.
Math.
Math.
Math. That's how math works.
Dude, D&D math is a whole other level of math.
It's funny that as adults we like all chose to do math again. Like, why did we decide to do that?
I think the funniest like math sentence to me is, and it's just like, I want to go back to all of my teachers and be like, ah, suck it. Yeah, I do have a calculator with me at all times. Ah,
Yeah, that's for sure. All right, so I'm rolling. All right, are we ready?
All right.
That is a 52. 52.
A 52.
Okay. 52.
I'm gonna go check. So Jeff is gonna.
And with the magic of editing, he is back.
All right. Do we say 52 or 57?
52.
Okay. All right. So the topic for this one is going to be GMing for mixed experience players.
Oh, all right. Sweet. So,
many people have encountered, maybe some GMs have not, but evidently and most likely, some GMs will, and most GMs at some point will encounter tables where they're going to have players of mixed experience, some that have never mm-hmm. played, some that have played a little bit, some that have played different editions,
true,
but not true. All the same one, and some that true. Have played for many years, or others that haven't. And you could still have players that have, you know, played maybe for significantly less time, mm-hmm. but have had more various experience encounters, such as players that have encountered a TPK and other things that most players typically don't tend to.
Mm-hmm.
So, bringing it back. We're bringing
that's
it
true.
Back.
Bringing it back.
Man. Well,
be a fun one.
That'll be, that definitely is a thought-provoking one, that's for sure. Because you definitely have a lot of elements going on there. But, man. Oh, man. Guys, thank you so much for everything. All the support has just been insane. We couldn't do what we do without your guys' support. So thank you again from the bottom of our hearts. This was a fun one, guys. The topics were great. The conversation was awesome. I had a blast. I'm going to be thoroughly looking forward to our next one. I'll be thinking about handling different types of players at the table, because I think that's something people don't think about too often. So we'll definitely get into the nitty gritty of that. So from all of us, thank you. We're the Story Crafters, and we'll see you next time. See ya.
Bye, everybody. Be safe.